I want now to look at the first prayer, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 19. Paul praying for the Ephesians. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, exerted in Christ, and so on. Ephesians 1, 17 to 19. I want, first of all, to look at the background to this prayer. It rises like an island, one of these islands that rise steeply out of the sea, sheer cliffs, as it were. It stands out. But the point I'm making is, in this illustration, it is an island in a sea. It's not just there, empty in space. We've had 14 verses or more, 15 verses, whatever, before we get to this section of the letter. Verse 15, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith, and so on, Paul gives thanks and he prays for them. So, what's gone before? What's the background to this prayer? And this is most instructive. We get the opening of the letter, the first two verses, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and so on, to the saints, the believers, and they're in Christ Jesus, grace and peace, and so on. And then he launches out from verse 3 to verse 14. And those verses, that passage there, represents one of the great high points of Scripture. The doctrine he sets out there is tremendous. It's an enormous, towering section of Scripture. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just skim the passage and see. Blessed us, heavenly realms, every spiritual blessing in Christ, chosen, creation, holy, blameless, love, predestined, adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, pleasure, will, praise of his glorious grace, redemption, blood, forgiveness of sins, riches of God's grace, lavished wisdom, understanding, known mystery, will, good pleasure, purpose, fulfillment, chosen, predestined, purpose, will, hoping in Christ, included in Christ, sealed in Christ, marked in Christ, the witness of the Spirit, the promise of the Spirit, the guarantee of the inheritance, the redemption, the glory. It goes on and on and on. What a tremendous system of doctrine. What a tremendous set of doctrinal statements. I say it's one of the high points of Scripture. And if you found a believer today who could talk about such things, election, predestination, imputed righteousness, justification, hope, redemption, blood, atonement, all these, if you could find a believer talking like this today, you would say, well, now here is a fine believer. Oh, look what he knows, look what he can talk about. My friend, there is something very serious I want to bring before you here. I'm not saying a word against knowing these things. The apostle has written these things. And he can write this to believers because they understand and he wants them to understand. It's truth. And the truth is vital. The doctrine has to be set out. But there is something more. What I'm talking about here is Sandemanianism. One of the greatest curses on the church today. One of the biggest blights, if not the biggest blight, upon preaching today. Most preachers and most believers are content with facts, lectures on facts. Facts, Mr. Gradgrind, My theory of education is facts, sir. Teach them facts. And we get systems of theology dished out to us. Notes, PowerPoints, lectures, boring, dry systems. Creeds and confessions. Now, I'm not saying a word against doctrine or against creeds or confessions. That's not my point. But the point is this. You can teach all the facts in the world, and men can know facts. Men can repeat facts. One of the great dangers of these systems of teaching unbelievers, training them, teaching them the system of Christianity, is at the end, like a sausage machine, they have been turned out as so-called believers because they can tick the boxes. This is Sandemanianism. What is Paul doing here? He's laid down this doctrine, and now he says this, but this is not all. I'm glad you know these things, and I remind you of them. But now, since I've said all this to you, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking, not one off, I keep asking that the glorious Father, and then he goes on, may give you what? More understanding of doctrine, more head knowledge? No. That you might feel, that you might know in an experiential, experimental way, that you might sense and enjoy and find pleasure and delight and passion and thrill and exuberance in the things of God, that your eyes may be opened, that you may know him better, not simply doctrine, that you might feel him, that you might be pleased with God, that you might love him as well as trust him. You see, to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, one has to welcome him, to receive him, to love him, to open to him, to want him, to know him, to walk with him. He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me, I am his own. That's what Paul is praying for here. That's what I want you to feel, he said. It's like Joseph Hart's hymn. True religion's more than notion. Something must be known, yes, and felt. A felt Christ. Preacher, don't just preach facts. Preach from a feeling heart, a heart burning with the Spirit. Preach in life and power, and look for life and power. The exceeding greatness of his power toward us. The felt sense of this. Don't just teach people facts. Long to see them moved by these facts, to feel and enjoy and know the Christ, and to love him and to walk with him. Unbeliever, it's not simply ticking the boxes, signing a card, accepting a few facts. You have to know Christ. It's knowing Christ and enjoying Christ and being in Christ and Christ in you. It's so intimate as that. This is what Paul is praying for. The sense of it. The wonder of it. If you want to see more about the Sandemanianism, then I can only suggest if you want to read my book on it. I've tried to go into it. It's such a curse upon the churches. Oh, may God give us life and power by the Spirit, opening our hearts to Christ, knowing him, feeling him, enjoying him. Not simply content with creed and confession, but knowing and feeling and walking with Jesus moment by moment and enjoying all that God has for us by his Spirit. This is what I pray for, says Paul. I keep asking that God may give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better, that your eyes may be opened in your heart, that you may see and feel and know and enjoy the riches of his grace. This is what I want, my brother, my sister. Do you? This is what I want to preach for and write for. This is what I want to speak for now. This is what Paul prayed for. May we pray for it. And may we go on to know and enjoy and feel all that God is and has for us in and through our Lord Jesus Christ by his Spirit. An unbeliever, oh, come to Jesus and find how rich and free and full his grace can be. Oh, taste and see how gracious the Lord is.